Today's readings are all about repentance. That's no great surprise during Lent. But let's consider that word for a moment. Repentance comes from two Latin words, meaning to think again. That's something perhaps easy for us to understand. We can all think of things we should have thought about again. Like the time I came home 40 years or so ago and said to my wife, Sally, guess what? I bought a motorcycle. Isn't that great? Her enthusiasm was far less than mine. Or perhaps the time a few years later when I said, guess what? I bought a horse. I always wanted horses ever since I was little. But perhaps I should have thought about that once again, since we lived in an apartment in downtown Lansing. Yes, we can all think of times when we should have thought again about something. Sometimes God directs us to rethink things. Take Moses in our first reading, for example. We heard how the burning bush so fascinated him as he tended the sheep of his father-in-law in Midian, to the point that he came over to investigate. And God spoke and told him, rethink this departure you made from Egypt. As you recall, Moses' mom put him, Moses, as an infant in a reed basket and floated him on the river so as to escape Pharaoh's directive condemning all Hebrew babies to death. God's hand emerged, and Moses not only survived, but was raised as an Egyptian by Pharaoh's own daughter. After Moses fought and killed an Egyptian attacking a Hebrew slave, he escaped to Midian, where he met a girl, married her, they had a couple of kids, and now God wants him to go back to Egypt. And Moses doesn't even know it yet, but God will also tell him he personally has to go and speak with Pharaoh, the man who ordered his capture and death. Yes, rethinking often involves more consequential things than horse and motorcycle purchases. Sometimes the Lord's request causes us to shudder in apprehension or even outright fear. But we think, after all, doesn't the psalm tell us the Lord is kind and merciful? He heals our iniquities. He hears the cry of the oppressed. Surely he will smooth all of our paths and give us a peaceful, contented life. St. Paul, in our second reading to the Corinthians, says, not so fast. Yes, the Lord is kind and merciful to those who align themselves to God's will and surrender to his plan for us. Otherwise, St. Paul says, those who believe they are standing on secure, firm ground will find themselves falling. Then what are we to do? As always, Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus is hidden and anticipated in the Old Testament and is revealed in the New. He clearly directs us, albeit in some initially uncomfortable ways, to contemplate our situation. In today's gospel, Jesus again tells us to repent, to think again about our approach to life. First, he settles a long-standing question. Were the people killed by Pilate and the others who died in a horrific accident victims of their own sin? No, Jesus said. Bad things do occasionally happen to good people. This was a definitive departure from the perceived wisdom of the day. That said, misfortune was a punishment from God. But Jesus goes even further and says, don't worry about less important things like other people's sin. Keep your focus on your own eternity and repent to avoid perishing forever. Once again, he uses a metaphor easily understood by his listeners. They, including us, are the fig tree. The owner of the farm is God. The gardener urging patience and time for the fig tree to come to fruition is Jesus. We might tend to think this is all about Jesus saving us from God's seemingly heavy-handed judgment, but that is a mistake. Jesus' words clearly tell us the ultimate aim is not for us to merely survive. After all, the fig tree has been doing that for 3 years now, as you recall. No, the desired objective here is for that tree, that is us, to bear fruit, to accomplish the tasks for which we were created. And what is that fruit? It's to live lives conformed to Jesus' model for us, and just as importantly, to bring others along with us. Christianity is not a private, personal, solitary journey in quest of individual perfection. Of course not. We each are a small part of a community. Indeed, several communities, our families, our gathering here, the city, the nation, the world, all of which are full of people in need of what we as Jesus' emissaries here on earth can bring. That's all well and good, but where do we begin? The Lenten season is all over this. This is a special time set aside to repent, to think again, and our faith and the church point out the path and erect the signposts to keep me sure we don't veer off the road. We hear a lot about penance, almsgiving, fasting, and prayer at this time of year, and we need to take that to heart. But let's also just zero in on our experience here at Mass this morning. Did we enter the church quietly, calm our thoughts, and turn our minds toward God? When, after the greeting, Father Tim invited us to call to our mind our sins and ask for God's kindness and mercy before the penitential rite, did we do so? Or did we use that time to think about, well, what else do I have to do today? Do we accept God's forgiveness when we hear the absolution? May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. When the first lector came up to read, did we see the flashing neon sign, wisdom obtained here, as Father David Rosenberg, my friend and spiritual director, uses that image to teach children about Mass in his parish? When the action shifts to the altar, do we see the next flashing sign above it saying, holiness granted here? On and on through the creed, the prayers of the people, the Lord's Prayer, the Eucharist, the closing prayer, the Mass guides our repentance, our think again process, and gives us the strength to carry it through. It's all there, including the final dismissal when the deacon or father says something like, go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, or go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. It's all there. After Mass, if we've been fully present and consciously and actively participated, as the church teaches us, we've nearly reached the goal. The buds on our fig tree are swelling. We begin to flower. And as soon as we share our joy with others, we've borne fruit. Let's renew our commitment to that and just do it.